Thank you, everyone, for being here this morning. This is my first committee chair position, so please bear with me and help me along if you have any suggestions. Today is June 8th, 2020, at 9 a.m. Well, technically 9:02 now. And this is the Building and Grounds Committee. And we are here to discuss the potential expansion of DORA. In attendance today is Lindsay Style, the chair of the committee, Katie Capellini, Patrick Richardson, Mark Fry, Chief Snore, Leslie Brining, and Bill Sanford. So, as mentioned before, the purpose of today's meeting is to discuss the potential expansion of DORA. A quick background on this discussion is that due to more people spending time inside, there is a higher demand for places outside. We have learned that DORA has the potential to be expanded in other spots because the rules have been changed. And so we are giving a we are giving it a discussion to see if it's the right choice for Sylvania. There has already been a meeting with the Executive Committee of Heritage Sylvania, because the main place of discussion is the village, the historical village, and the green space that's there. And at that meeting, four major concerns. Oh, hello. We also have Kevin Allen joining us today. The four main concerns that were discussed at that meeting was security, restrooms, trash, and accessibility. And that was just from the Heritage Sylvania's point of view. So we'll also have a chance today to find out if there are any other concerns regarding those issues. So to get started, I thought it would make sense to just go through each of those concerns and discuss them a bit and see if we are able to find a solution or what additional information we need to find to be able to reach a solution. Does that sound like a good agenda to everyone?
Yeah, so we're going to start with the historical village and then look at the expanded city-owned property footprint.
I do have a map here, so we can decide. If we would like to discuss beyond the Heritage Sylvania property, we should probably start with maybe Heritage Sylvania and then decide after that if we want to discuss beyond that.
I feel like a lot of these concerns we have to get over probably apply to any place we're going to expand to anyway, so maybe we should hash out.
I think they're going to be pretty much universal.
Yeah.
Maybe with some different caveats depending on where you're at, but by and large, the vast majority of them are going to be. So I think addressing them here at the Heritage Sylvania Village is fine. We can, you know, it'll apply pretty much to everyone else as well.
And maybe once we go through these concerns, it'll also make it clear whether or not other properties would even be worth considering.
So I have a question about the map. So I see that like everything in blue is what we own, but I'm wondering about, so Maplewood Square Park, I know that Reeve owns it, but we rent it, right? Does that give us some ownership?
That, I did reach out to the Ohio Department of Commerce, the liquor control, because since the statute changed, I thought maybe that could change as well. And that is not uniformly applied throughout the state, which is what I found with a lot of the DORA regulations. So I could call into our local Division of Liquor Control to see how they would interpret that if our leasing the space and it looking like a park would permit it to be included. I have not gotten an answer back yet from them on that.
Okay.
I did reach out to them because in some places it's okay, but in other places in Ohio it's not. So I just want to make sure that our local, however our local liquor control is going to enforce it is what we should do. I think their hours are still a little bit shortened because of stay home order.
Just thinking it would be nice to have those people that are already drinking there for them to not be breaking the law.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it makes sense.
Yeah, it does seem like an actual spot where people are already going there.
Yeah.
Well, I guess why don't we start with, are there any other properties beyond the Maplewood part that we'd like to have considered just at the start of this conversation?
I mean, I think the park across Monroe, what's it called?
The Rotary, City Center Park with the Rotary sculpture. Probably makes sense too.
I think, especially with SOMO going in, that makes a lot of sense to me.
I would also like to have a conversation about the parking lots that we own. But I have, but I'll be upfront, I am reticent about it for what Signalwood says. But it is city-owned property of a substantial nature. And we probably need to consider that as well if we're going to look at this.
Leslie, do we have a lease for Maplewood Square Park?
Yes, that's, the Reeds own it, then we lease it from them.
Does, under this, something for you, does that qualify as a property interest?
That's what I was just talking to Katie, in some parts of the state it does. The Ohio Division of Liquor Control allows that those properties that the city doesn't own but leases to be included. I would have a call into our local Division of Liquor Control to see if they would include that, because there is inconsistencies in the enforcement of it. I just want to make sure that what we are doing is consistent with what our local liquor control wants us to do. So I think in other places in Ohio, it would be okay, perfectly acceptable for us to include it. I just want to make sure that here in Lucas County, it would be okay.
Just for note on the record, Council Member Doug Hannon has also joined us in the chamber. Well, I guess you guys, we have two ways to go about this, and one is to kind of go through these properties and think about the pros and cons of including them, or we could just dive into the already known challenges that we face to see if those are things we can.
Well, yeah, because let's hash out, in my opinion, you know, security, restrooms, trash. What was the fourth one?
Accessibility.
I mean, I think those can apply to any of these that we're talking about. I guess from the board at Heritage Sylvania, what was, did they get into detail about their security concerns, since that's the first one on the list?
Yes. Well, we'll just start talking about those concerns. So for security, their concerns were that in the past they have experienced, or they have had a past experience with vandalism, and since there would be alcohol involved with the door expansion, that can sometimes fuel more incidences. And so they would, the executive committee hoped for an increased security. And the pose, the idea that they had had was perhaps the, since the Maplewood closed street was already receiving additional monitoring, that perhaps there's a way to do a drive-by on those monitorings. I don't know, Chief Snow, do you have any thoughts on whether that's a possibility?
So, yeah, we are aware of some complaints that we received about the section of Maplewood that's closed. And ever since the door has been enacted, we have tried to pay some attention to it, but there are still extra staffing for that. The police department is actually an officer down, actually two officers down right now, and that puts us three below our authorized strike for 34. Each of the shifts basically operate on a daily minimum officer basis. There's three officers on day shift, and four on afternoons, and three on midnights. So when you spread out all the responsibilities in the city, there really isn't anybody assigned to that. It's something that there's some free time that they'll check. So there could be times where, like, if one of a domestic violence call on midnight shift, you know, when the door can go, but right now it's on midnight, so that first hour of midnight shift, if they're on domestic violence call, there will be no officers in service to service anything, you know, downtown. Maybe one, and if there was some type of drunk disorder, one officer, like us, that wouldn't be appropriate. So right now with our current staffing and current resources, there's no one we can dedicate to that. We try to keep an extra eye on it. And obviously, if we call driven, or a business owner, an individual calls something in, we could respond to that, but there's no extra resources for a dedicated patrol or security of those sites.
Okay. And then also another key difference is that the closed street is a temporary, a temporary solution, whereas if we were to incorporate any of these properties into DORA, that would be considered a permanent change. And so if we're concerned about security or other issues, we have to keep that in mind.
The primary concern, yeah, from the conversations so far, so if you, let's say, decided and included a park at Maplewood and, I'm sorry, Main and Monroe, and then obviously this is a congregation area, the intersection of Main and Maplewood, and then you've got the historical village, you know, that's quite a span of area that people could be in. It's a secluded location there, you know, at the historical village. And, you know, sometimes people feel a little bit more free, you know, as far as disorderly conduct, like you said, property damage, those types of things. They do happen in a drinking environment. But the first 2 years of my career, I worked at Foot and Bay. And I can tell you that, you know, obviously higher concentration, but the same type of thing, you know, an entertainment district. And we would staff, you know, a lot of people just to that event. The more people we have coming downtown, the more chance you're going to have conflicts between the patrons or the businesses and the patrons. And you know, there's an element of security with that. With our current staffing, our current expenses, our current budget, we don't have any signs of that other than ad hoc, you know, calls for service. So just something to keep in mind. That's quite a geographic area to cover, you know, that you're not gonna have people to come under that, you know, on an ongoing basis. So it's just something to consider as you expand and enhance the entertainment district.
From the security standpoint, is there sort of an order of easiest to keep a higher security of the properties?
Well, Maplewood, it's right out in the public. You know, people would probably feel a little more uncomfortable about getting goofy or doing something, you know, because everybody can see it. There's probably some cameras to do that downtown, there are a few. That's pretty secluded back in the historical village. So, but like I said, it could be fine. Maybe we'll have an issue. It's very hard to quantify. But I can tell you, you know, initially we didn't have really any complaints. And there's been, you know, a couple of complaints here and there. It just depends on volume and who shows up, what individuals, you know, and how much they drink and, you know, just depends. But statistically, those things do, the chances do rise as more people and when people are consuming alcohol, there's always a chance that there will be some type of conflict.
So,
I'm sorry.
This is just a quick question about the past vandalism. I feel like, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like I remember the vandalism was when the trains were out, and it was kids and graffiti.
It could be kids. You know, I think that there was a time where we had somebody who was intoxicated over there. And, you know, there's an apartment complex adjacent. Like I said, people don't act themselves when they've been, you know, when they're intoxicated. So you just never, it's a secluded spot. Secluded spots usually are more apt to have that type of thing. You know? So, but like I said, will there be a regular security patrol? When you say security, usually it's a dedicated manpower that we're trying to, you know, increase the safety or loss of property damage, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't have people that assignment
of that, unless it's overtime or with a project or something like that, which you're talking about, you know, significant cost
that could occur,
especially if that was an ongoing thing. So it's just something to keep in mind.
Mr. Fry,
good
question.
Actually, Mrs. Kathleen, you covered my question. She
beat me
to it.
I'm
sorry.
I don't know if you want me to come up multiple times. Parking lot? Any parking lots, I think, is a bad idea. One, they're completely separated from the other sections, so you can't, you know, there's no line of sight. It's you know, the biggest issue is in Ohio, you can't consume, you know, alcohol in or on, so even like sitting on the tailgate of your truck, you can't consume alcohol really in or on a motor vehicle. So just people walking out with a beer in their car, just, I just think it's a bad idea, at least bad look for the city. You know, we've always tried to have a good stance on preventing substance abuse, preventing, you know, OBIs, preventing risky behavior like that, all the programs that we do and everything. Not to mention the fact that it's adjacent to the police department, it's just, I think it might be kind of a bad look if people are walking with beers in their cars. But that's just my, you know, just from my law enforcement experience working here in the city, I just.
What sort of incremental loading would you anticipate for the park at the corner of Main and Monroe?
Incremental loading of?
I mean, you've got cars, vehicles going past that site, I don't know, 200 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
If the door was expanded to that little park right there.
Oh, and I don't think that, it's right in the corridor.
No, that's
the left. I don't think that it would be any different than we're dealing with now.
Okay.
The historical village could be a little more difficult. Like I said, to expand the door, that's quite a distance, you know, when you're looking at just, you know, there's going to be a lot of residents moving in. I don't know how often they might frequent that, but we had big congregations down here, and then some, you know, the Maidenwood and down to the historical. That could be a lot to keep an eye on. And it just increases your chances of being a problem. Not to say that people might be driving that far, even whether it's locked or not, but. You know, at some point, you know, the security and the safety that you're crossing a major, you know, a high-end code there, that's a little dicey, you know. So, all things to just consider that, and again, I just don't have, we don't have like downtown patrol or anything like that. It's not part of our regular, primary operations. They're just called for service based and traffic enforcement. I don't have any special units assigned to the traffic division or. Like I said, downtown anti-crime or anything like that, that you might see in the larger area would have a dedicated, you know, downtown everyday entertainment district. I'm sure Toledo, like you move out to the Mullins area, they're going up. I'm sure they have people signed to that. We have to. So far, it's been an issue for us. It's, you know, something to put back in mind as you're looking at that.
So I have a question about the historical village and parking lots and boundaries with this map. So, I mean, there's a lot. There's the two duplexes, and then there's the space behind that, which is a parking lot. And then there's the museum, and then there's a space behind that, which I'm not sure what we're calling. Is that part of the actual, do you have one of those big maps?
Yeah.
I feel like, I mean, the actual village is set back like a whole, like there's almost a whole lot in front of it, like it's not even on Main Street, versus there's an area that's behind the museum and behind the duplexes and behind Inside the Five, which is kind of an enclosed area. Is that actually, are we calling that, when we say village, are we calling all of that the village? You see what I'm saying? And when you go in the village, it's like very obvious. There's the green, there's the stone house, there's the blacksmith, there's the train depot, there's the barn. You go, oh, this is the historical village. And then there's the museum, but then there's that other area.
Yeah, where the gazebo is back there and all that stuff.
That's like a kind of confusing area, but it's actually more on Main Street and maybe not so secluded.
That's the call of the council. I just, the more secluded, the more off the beaten path, the more chance that things can happen. People aren't going to see it. You know, people would feel pretty uncomfortable. You know, the types of the calls that I've encountered in my, you know, 28 years doing this type of work, especially like I said, I worked in the community, was very much driven by this, their economic engine. And, you know, if there were a group of people back there drinking, you know, sometimes that group will get, they'll get loud. They'll say things to people of the opposite sex, things like that. That's where conflicts start. You know, that's where those, and I think people might be more comfortable if there's, you know, there's tables in an area to congregate back there, back out off, out of the public.
And it's lighted and.
Compared to, if you're sitting right out of Main and Maplewood, people are coming by, people that you know and stuff, you might not feel as comfortable acting fool, if you will. And when people do, when they drink, they start to get loud, they get, you know, boisterous. And some people may be offended by that or upset by that. So, you know, like I said, the more it's out in the open, probably the easier it is to secure, from my experience.
So the parking lot that's behind those duplexes, and I know you, it's a bad idea to drink in parking lots, but if the parking lot was a parking lot during the day, and then at 6 o'clock, it's not a parking lot anymore.
My biggest concern would be our city public parking lot. You know, that, I just think that would be hard to secure, and just a bad, like I said, a bad luck if people are walking around the corner with their beers in the parking lot. I just think that's not good.
So it wouldn't be a concern if it was a parking lot during the day in a community area at night, and it's not the big city lot, but it's behind.
Right. I don't know about, I mean, that it's not a very big parking lot. I don't know.
It has like signs and it says interrupt parking 9 to 6.
Yeah.
And then maybe Bill knows this, the duplex. So there's those garages back there, and the garages, they go with the duplexes?
Correct.
But then the cars that are in there after 6 o'clock, do you think that those people are parking in the lot, or do you think they're parking in their garages?
Katie, we always have issues with that parking lot, with the duplex, you know, people live there, their visitors, the interrupt people during the day. The interrupt conflict has gone down for now. I'm not going to, because they complain a lot about spaces and with inside the five, all the activity. I don't think it's feasible to change that area daily, kind of a thing, or at certain times. It works great for like the fall festival, and you've got that kind of activity back there, and then, but back to your earlier thing, that I view the museum as separate from the village. The village
okay.
is the picket fence and the back.
Right, and it's there. When you walk in, you can see that it's.
I do think that space behind the museum would be appropriate, or that be, you know, there's a gazebo you could sit. I mean, I think that would be something that, I don't know why somebody would want to go all the way back to the village from Main Street, but behind the museum I don't think would be a bad thing. But you can't really close the parking lot off. I just don't see that with all the coming and going.
It happens, I mean, they do it a lot in like bigger, more congested cities, like, I mean, in San Francisco and Oakland and even in Cincinnati, you can go and they have, like, it's parking because people come and they work there during the day, but then at night, like, tables roll out and the doors open and it all switches around, and so that the space is being used. I mean, I know it's possible. It might be a little bit complicated for people to figure out in the beginning, but.
It's probably a special event with a permit and, you know, on a regular basis, but I think that's the way to do that somehow. I might have set it up, but somebody has to take ownership of it and take the lead on putting it together.
I think this ties into one of the other questions that we have to discuss, which is the accessibility of this, because part of the challenge with having the historical village as a DORA designated science center, which children's programming, and so that's another instance of when we're wondering whether it's possible within the law to have it be closed off or sectioned during times, which it sounds like this parking lot area might have a similar challenge. Leslie, do you know if you can section off or close off parts of DORA?
I think so. Theoretically, I don't think that there's certainly no prohibition against doing it. It would just be kind of possibly an area of potential confusion on the part of the people that are participating, but I don't think, especially during the day, you know, if it's because of our size, we are limited to one DORA, so we really can't have different rules or different times for different parcels.
Do you have a lot of drunk and disorderly during the day?
We did not so far.
But I mean, anybody,
you mean in that block or in the
right?
Justice?
I mean,
are you saying in that block?
Well, I'm just. Like thinking, tagging off the description or the issue with the children's programs in the historical village. I mean, if somebody buys a beer at noon and walks back to pick up their kid from a program, I mean, people drink more responsibly during the day, do you think? Maybe not.
I've seen all.
You've seen it all, but.
I mean, we've had people picking up their kids from, you know, the school in Northview, it used to be the Franciscan Academy, that's all that we were, you know, twice the legal limit that we had. You just never know. But a lot of times those people aren't going to come. A person who has that problem that bad in substance abuse isn't going to be probably going to have a beer. They're going to buy something else from a carryout or something like that, from my experience.
Right, and they're not going to go sit in the grass at the historical village and pass out.
Yeah, it just depends. I don't know what, if a school kid are coming into a program there at the historical village and there are people sit there drinking a beer, I don't know what some parents might think of that. I don't know. That would be, I wouldn't have the information on that.
I can tell you what I would have thought. Would have been good.
That'd probably be my personal assumption, but, you want that to be a little more action.
So let's explore the accessibility question. How many kids programs are we talking about here? Are we talking about 5? Are we talking about 105?
I don't know the exact numbers, but I know that during their peak season, they'll have kids going through the conservation.
And when is peak season?
It would normally be now in the fall. But right now, the plan is that they're hoping to be able to reopen in the spring for the program.
And how, what time of day are school children usually there? When do they clear out by? Because, elementary school goes until, 3:30 or something?
I don't know precisely. I can ask Andy these questions, but yeah. I would assume that it would be between normal school hours, so probably sometime between 8 to 3.
And Dora starts at noon. So we're really talking about a 3-hour possible window of overlap where there could be an issue. If there's school kids there from noon to 3, that would be where we could run into something, I guess, what we're talking about.
Yeah. The other potential time there could be an issue is that at least for the historical village, is that they rent out that area sometimes for private events, and that income helps sustain the other programming and expenses that they have. And one of the concerns was, if it's part of DORA, how are they allowed to section off, or can they section that off from the public during those special events?
Yeah.
Which is a little bit different, because that would be likely an adult event. But those are the two main concerns when it comes to the historical village.
How often does that happen?
I think currently it's not that often.
5 times a year?
I'm sorry, I just don't know the answer. I should have asked Andy.
I can see that cut both ways, though. If it's an adult event, they may not mind the fact that there actually could be alcohol served in it. Now, that may not be what the vision that the board has and the council might have for the space, but I can see that cutting both ways.
Right, it makes it more rentable. I guess I think the Cancer Society, I think that's the big organization that does an event there during the summer, and they set up tents on the whole green. It looks really stunning at nighttime when it's all set up. But those tickets are expensive. But if they already have...
So they want to get a temporary liquor permit, so maybe it doesn't make any difference.
But it would save them the money on the temporary liquor permit.
Is that $50 or?
$175, I think.
Well, right now with Maple and Maine, isn't the door suspended during that, so that they can get the liquor permit, so that they can sell their own and raise that money?
I think so. That's the way it works. Yeah, you still have to get a liquor permit for a special event like the local fest.
But I think the Cancer Society event is $150 ticket. And so mm-hmm. I would assume that your drinks would be included. Well, yeah, you're right. All right.
I guess... From what I'm hearing is, maybe this is a question for Leslie, but the question is, can we say the DORA in the village starts at 3, where on the rest of Main Street it starts at noon? Is that legal? Different start times in different places? Yeah.
Because it is a different, or and we're only allowed to have one. The easy thing to do would be if we could have two because of our population.
Sure.
We have different rules, but I will have to do some more research on that.
Yeah.
We can be limited in for that certain.
And that is to say if that's an issue. I don't know, maybe school kids are gone before noon. I have no idea. But if that's the case, maybe that's not, you know, maybe that's not an issue.
It would probably really only be Monday through Friday would need to start at noon. On the weekends, I wouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll just say from sort of, and I think these are all very legitimate concerns and we need to talk through them, but just like broad brush statement, I think that the sister cities garden and the village are, I think they're really cool and I think they're underutilized. I think there's a lot of potential and I like the idea of encouraging people to go back there and check it out. Kylie and I walked through the sister cities garden yesterday and she had never even seen it. And she's lived here her whole life. And she was like, wow, this is really cool with the gazebo and the park benches and the rocking chairs and all that stuff. And I think if we can figure out a way to like encourage people to go see it, I think we should figure it out.
It is an amazing area. Sorry, Bill.
I just going to, Leslie, maybe check and see if there's a way to just say this section of the door is closed or something.
Right.
Closures inside the door. I would think that would be the way to do it, whatever they tell you.
Right.
Or if we take that area behind the museum, the Sister City Garden and the gazebo, and there's the carriage house and then the long driveway that goes out, and we include that in the Dora. And I mean, we'd have to do some work on it and make it so that it's inviting, intentional, polished, so it doesn't look confusing when you go in there. So like, has anyone seen the parklets that got delivered yesterday? They're beautiful.
Yeah.
And those look intentional and polished, and please come sit here. If we could make the area behind the museum, and I'm not saying that let's go out and spend a whole bunch of money, but I think that we go with that plan, we have maybe get it redesigned and figure out if there's a sponsor or how we get that done without writing a huge check. But the carriage house, is that part of the village, the carriage house? I mean, the carriage house, when you, it goes right, like when you look down the driveway, there's the carriage house. So to me, that's where you put the band. That's where you put the tables going down the driveway. And then you've got that whole area behind the museum that is confusing now, but it could be. It's a great location next to Inside the Five, and I'm sure that Inside the Five would partner with entertainment. I mean, in Austin, they have amazing, they've taken driveways and older buildings and done exactly that, and it pulls off really well, and I have tons of pictures if anyone wants to see them. But.
Yeah.
So it looks like there's a little question of what we can actually do for hours and separating different spots. We're not even completely sure if we think there will be a problem, because there's a chance there's going to be less drinking in that area anyway during the day. But it would be good to know what our options are with that. So we don't really have a wait for more information on that to help with making that decision. And security, we've already gotten the answer that it's more hidden, and the more hidden the areas are, the more likelihood there will probably be an issue, and that currently we don't have the resources to have a dedicated person there. Why don't we move on to then the restrooms that are right there?
Before we go there, let me ask a question. But just to follow up, so if we're going to walk down this path, just for a moment, we'll suppose that, who owns that liability? Windows start getting broken, people start doing stupid stuff. Probably not going to happen frequently, but it's almost a certainty that when you push people back in there, which is has significant benefits, I agree, but people are going to be silly from time to time. Somebody's going to say something, somebody's going to do something. How do we handle that liability? Do we own that as the city? Does the village own that? How does that work? We need to think through that. Ultimately, we own it. I know that answer, but because we own the village, but
Yeah, is it any different than the sidewalk?
Or the street?
I think it's material.
That's, yeah, I don't know.
There's another organization in between.
Yeah.
I can say from the standpoint of Heritage Sylvania that they are, they've already been looking for ways to be more involved in downtown Sylvania. And before our current health crisis, they'd already had many things lined up for this summer to be able to be a stronger part of the downtown, and has already been talking with DSA about other ways to be involved. And they are excited at the idea of becoming a part of it. They do have these concerns, and they're eager to work through things. Now, I can also say that they're working hard to minimize their budget right now, because out of respect of everything having budgeting problems, they're trying to minimize as much as they can for strain on resources that they're asked that the city will be lower. So from that standpoint, if there were issues, there is not much wiggle room in their budget right now to be able to handle those things.
So what about the restroom going down?
Okay, so the third issue that was brought up was their restrooms. And currently, Heritage Sylvania, for the most part, only opens them when they're having programs for the children to use, or for special events. And those restrooms are maintained by Heritage Sylvania. They're very nice, they're in a convenient location. But if we were to extend door into the village area, the question is, would we want those restrooms to be opened? And if they are, who would be responsible for maintaining them? Their proposal was that we don't open the restrooms for now, because that's the standard practice with public parks and their restrooms at the moment, but that's not a long-term solution, because this is not a temporary condition.
Yeah. And I think you kind of have to have them open. I think if you're encouraging people to be, or if you're inviting people to be having a drink back there, you know, it's kind of needed. Otherwise, you know, are you going to, I mean, people are going to have to go when you're drinking beers. So are you going to walk into Element and use theirs, or inside the Five or Sodbusters, which could be fine, but I just think with those right there, we could probably figure out a way to open those up. I would have to think.
And they're public, right?
They're owned by the city. They're just kept locked.
My understanding, at least in the current circumstances that we're in, that public restrooms have to be cleaned every 2 hours. Is that correct, Mr. Allen?
They're supposed to be. Yes.
I'm not saying they are. I'm saying they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the corner park's not supposed to be used.
And I guess I'm talking outside of the COVID. I'm not taking COVID into consideration as I speak with that. But I think once we're past COVID, having those restrooms, I mean, they're there and they're nice, and I think it would be convenient if we can figure out a way to maintain them.
Have you seen the self-cleaning restrooms?
Mm-hmm. That would be a big overhaul.
Yeah, it would be a big overhaul.
My question is, do you agree with Patrick? But we would have to recognize there is a budgetary impact.
Sure.
On the village for them to clean those more frequently. Somebody has to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Much of their labor, I assume at this point, is voluntary, and we can't. If they're going to have to clean daily, 365 days a year, theoretically, that's something that needs to be addressed probably with professionals, not with the volunteers would be great.
Currently, they do hire someone to clean the restrooms, and I think it's $35 a time or something.
Okay.
And that's because they only have one permanent staff member, the executive director, and they have one part-time staff member, and with their current responsibilities, it's not worth their time.
No, sure.
To spend that.
Who cleans this building? And like, do we have a service that cleans all of the city buildings? How do we do that?
Yeah, each building is kind of contracted separately, but the majority of them, actually I believe all of them, is through CleanCare, which is a local company in Salida. I don't know how they can ground them, you know, because most of the time, they're coming in at 5 to 9.
That's Monday through Friday.
Yeah, Monday through Friday range, or that, you know, it's open till, what is that, when I get to store.
Right, morning would be the ideal cleaning time for that, probably.
Yeah, but you'd have to close it after, at the end of the night. So you'd have, somebody's coming in at whenever door closes, right, never get there at any hours.
Right now, it's midnight. Noon to midnight is current door.
So somebody would have to come in midnight every 7 days a week and close that.
Yeah, if you gotta keep it open, 35 bucks a shot, assuming that's the rate you would get for daily.
It's about, if you do it.
That's 12, 13 grand a year.
Well, I calculated based on 4 times a week, I don't know, is it needed every day, or, I don't know, 4 times a week is about 7 grand.
I think we're all kind of walking on eggshells trying to figure out.
Totally.
Quite frankly, I don't even know if this is needed. I don't know if we have enough usage of Dora today to handle all, you know, we're doing an awful lot of stuff here, but I'm still not sure that we have enough demand for the space with the new park lists that have just been installed and so forth. I hope that we're going to, but I think that's a fundamental question that, and I'm still generally supportive of the idea. I just want to make sure that we walk carefully because this is, you know, this is an asset that we've cherished for a long time in the community.
Sure.
I mean, as a second option, we could separate and leave the just the historical village lot out for now and add in the space behind the duplexes and behind the museum and the carriage house and make that an area if we're unsure if the historical village is unsure, wants to tread slowly, we could just take that piece and then add the historical village grassy area later.
Are there limits on how many times we can modify the?
No.
Okay, good.
We just can't do the acres one. We can do it every year if we want.
Well, because I know there's some other things where there's things the city could do with economic development zones. We only have a couple shots at that. Okay.
Right.
I do think that it's important in this conversation to keep in mind what do we need now? What would benefit our community now with what's going on? And what are some of the challenges that we might face in the future? Because are we able to then take back Dora if we were in the long run to decide that it doesn't work? So while the restrooms are, I think, the topic that could be important, are important now, but could be important more in the future, because right now we can't even leave them open. And we are not sure when our current situation is going to end. Maybe it seems like the security and the hours are a bit higher on the concerns list than restrooms at the moment. But I wanted them to be mentioned and discussed a bit because that was one of the things brought up by Heritage Slovenia.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one was trash. And they already get trash there. They already find the redbird, the Dora cups, sometimes in their property as well as other trash, and they would hope that they'd be able to have a city trash can and a Dora cup container on premise to catch the extra trash. So I don't know if that'd be something that the city would be able to provide. I don't know who provides the current Dora cups anyway.
DSA.
DSA.
Or the Dora container.
That yeah.
The DSA.
I think that's for DSA too.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds like there are some, a couple of big challenges and discussions we'll have to have and some more information that we need until we can really reach a conclusion on this. Are there any other topics you guys would like to discuss right now?
Can we talk kind of broadly on Dora and the street closure here and how it all fits together? I thought maybe we could have a quick conversation on, you know, do we think this has been working? Because I think this street closure on Maplewood is maybe, I know it's a little different because it's more directly out in the public, but maybe the expansion of Dora and extra seating could be some kind of an indicator as to how another expansion could go. And I was just curious if we all are pleased with the way this is going, and do we think it's a good idea, and, you know, what do we think about how is Maplewood going?
And to add to that, I mean, I know I've been there like a night or two, but I think you may have been there more. Like, how many people do we think are congregating?
A lot.
And then, so we were at the parklets last night, and that's definitely yep. going to take some off, but we were yep. sitting on it, and how, we came up with, what, 9?
If we
10?
Don't, well, I was kind of counting the seats. It looks like if you are not social distancing, it could, and with the people standing around it, it could be like 28 people in both parklets.
Together?
Yeah, totally.
And then, how many people do you think we have congregating in the street?
I mean, I've been out there a good number of nights, and I mean, especially Friday night, Saturday night, I don't know, there was probably 150 people out there, I'd maybe ballpark to say, on Friday night when the weather's nice.
And then we also have to keep in mind that Toledo is now starting to close some of their streets, so there could be a lot of people who are coming here from other places because they mm-hmm. don't have the options, that interest might change over the next few weeks. It might be good of us to maybe take a month or so to observe how that goes and what the demand is for more door space.
Yeah, and I haven't done any surveys, but I guess anecdotally, as I've been out there, it seems like, you know, the tables that we put out are full, all the benches are full, and there are dozens and dozens of people standing around. Like, there's definitely extra space could be used. That's from what I've seen, and that's just sort of my observations on it. I even like took some photos and videos at about 8:30 or 9 p.m. Friday night, just because like I wanted to document, you know, how many people there were out there, and it's a lot of people. So I think there is a demand for more door space based on that. And when you see, you know, people in our community just, you know, they like going out and doing that kind of stuff, and I think there is a demand for it. And I think that, I don't know, I think we should seriously talk about starting the process of expanding it back there. On top of which, I already said it's a cool space, and I think it's cool to encourage people to go see it. I think that garden back there is really neat, and, you know, I think it's a shame it's not used more.
But I want to add with that I know that Heritage Sylvania has been trying to plan things to have more stuff back there.
Sure.
And perhaps a permanent expansion might be a big leap where there could be some intermediate options in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's not just Dora. It's more about community gathering space. I mean,
yes.
It's not just
I don't think expanding Dora and then we're done. I think that's like step one, at least I view it. You know what I mean? Then we got to get some lighting and some tables and maybe get a band back there. I mean, there's, yeah, expanding Dora to the village or the museum isn't the final step.
But just making the space behind the museum and the carriage house and that whole area that's not the actual village, just more user-friendly mm-hmm. and inviting and intentional, not kind of haphazard, but for a place that people would just want to go hang out, not necessarily drink, but drink coffee. I mean, get takeout, or just, I mean, community gathering spaces are really what brings your community together.
What's on the other side of the tracks?
Woodrow. So if you go on the other side, you know that when you go over the tracks, there's that yellow house or green or all different color house. And there's a one-way street, and then there's that little circle street. And then there's the apartment buildings on part of it, too. I guess that Woodrow's on the other side of the village, and the apartment buildings on the other side of the area that I'm talking about.
I just think we need to be sensitive to the individuals who live in those homes. I'm not sure that I would want to have seating area midnight every night of the year with people out there chatting, potentially having alcohol, but speaking loudly within 100 feet of my back door.
True. It would be nice to have those duplexes rented as office space instead of residential, assuming that we're not going to, it doesn't look like anyone's dying to buy them right now, or even, I don't know, if we can expect anyone to buy them in the next 5 years, but we could, I mean, rent them as office instead of live space, and that would solve part of that problem, too.
I'm talking about people on the...
Oh, the apartment building.
Because some people won't mind, but based on, because we did get a lot of questions when we originally proposed the door up from the people who live on the other side of Erie, if I recall correctly, asking and having significant concerns about the location.
Maybe we put up a wall, a sound wall or something. I mean, you're right, we would have to be sensitive to the neighbors, and we would have to make it so that it's not, we're not overstepping into the residential, but I just know that there must be some way to make that space more of a community gathering space and not so...
There's always a question of money.
Yep.
Right. Right, but...
But in that case, it's us. The city would have to carry that. There's no...
Or maybe even the DORA members, all the DORA members. I don't know. I mean, I think it starts with the plan. Then we raise the money.
Lynn?
Yes.
I just add something about that you brought up, the road closure, and I think you all got the letter from the Fiddlesticks owner. We talked about staff, we're very concerned about that. I agree that, you know, on social media, that, you know, there's, like I said, there's always a couple people talking about the traffic, and then, but the overall comments I've seen have been very positive about creating the space and whatever, but I think we really got to pay attention to something like that that came in, and this is a person that came in and made a substantial investment in that building, and we're affecting his retail trade, we're affecting his ability to rent the other space, and now he's fearful to own his tenants in the apartments. I think nobody anticipated what was the response going to be in the pandemic about people coming out at night. You know, we really had no problem with DORA last year, with the weekends being probably the peak times, but not really any kind of reaction. And I called him afterwards, the chief called him also. And I think that the general, you hear from people like Dan, hey, if it's a weekend festival, that's part of the people coming and using the space, but then open it back up on Monday, and with that gone, you know, so there's more of this pushback on it. So I really think in the police administration, we're thinking, is there a different way to do this? Is the permanent closure the best thing? And I think we've got to respond. This is a guy making an investment in the community. He's upset. Obviously, it's not working well for him right now. And the incident that he talked about in that email, I believe, was Tuesday night or something. It was like a non-traditional Friday because, again, I think because of the whole pandemic thing, and that you got people looking for stuff to do and times you didn't have before and whatever, sort of out there. So I guess we just want to put that out there and say we want to look at this and see if this. Are we doing the right thing right now?
Just one more piece of that too, Dan. There are a lot of people that live downtown, you know, among the businesses across the street, you know, adjacent to the areas we're talking about. And, you know, people feel free to call the police department, which is great. We do get a lot of the complaints come in at first. We're over 24/7 into the dispatch center. When you ring the phone right now, it rings right here in the city. And we have had some of the frustration about the closure, about people being able to get around or access, you know, the business right there. And the other thing to consider is the way the city's laid out. You know, we're not a grid like most cities, and it's very difficult sometimes to get north or to get west, especially during rush hour. And that is one more way that people can access all these neighborhoods here and the neighborhoods to the north of Erie Street. So it's just something to consider that, you know, the quality of life for the residents is a big factor that we have to look at, and there are a lot of residents who are affected by that closure and by the activity. So it's just something to keep in mind.
Yeah, how do we best utilize DORA without closing streets? I think we've got to really take a hard look at that.
I've gotten just a ton of positive feedback about the vehicle closure. And so, anytime we have people, we're going to have issues. So, that's perfectly fine to investigate further. I'm really comfortable with what we've done. I think our community is very comfortable with what we've done. I'm always concerned about an individual owner. I've talked to a number of people in downtown about that second space that he was talking about. You can't rent. There are, not sure that's entirely, I'm sure that has nothing to do with closing document from what I've heard, but that's a different issue. I think we ought to continue this experiment and continue to monitor and learn from it. And after I got the email, I haven't spent a lot of time up there in the Maple enclosure area. I made sure to check it out a little bit in the last week. And I wasn't concerned with what I saw and what I experienced while I was there. Now, I wasn't there at midnight either. Because I go to bed. I go there for that. I thought it would have been that much fun. But the feedback I've gotten has been overwhelmingly positive. I noticed somebody posted something on Facebook this weekend about how long is this crazy shutdown going to go on, and there were like immediately 15 responses that all told this guy. It basically said, "Are you crazy? This is a great thing." And that's just one anecdote, but I think it's consistent with the feedback that I've gotten. So, not too concerned about that. And one other thing: Did you talk about the park at Monroe and Main?
And we talked about it briefly.
Yeah. Okay. Is it? And I don't know if I didn't hear or if I was late getting here. What was the thinking about that?
It was mostly discussed for the security, and Chief Snore mentioned that while it has high visibility, there is crossing of a high traffic street that could be a safety issue. From my point of view, I also think there could be a bit of confusion about what the extents are with DORA if we do start to expand it and cross that major street.
Let me just say that we're going to put 200 to 350 people in Soma, and you know, folks walking back from downtown, I would think that would be a natural congregation. And those folks will be there. They're showing up before the end of the year. I guess probably not an issue for this summer.
I think that was one of the things on the list for environmental design, is how to make that crossing better, how to connect it better. So maybe they'll come up with a brilliant idea about how we're going to make that crossing safer and more connected, and it'll all work out.
We're going to have a lot of foot traffic there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We are.
That's coming. I mean, we can expect that the residents of Soma, we certainly hope the residents of Soma will be walking uptown to those businesses.
Okay. Can I ask one more question? This is an easy question, but I'm not sure who to ask. There's a bike rack behind the barn. The lady that owns the candy shop, Pat Wall, she really wants that bike rack in front of her little, you know what I'm talking about, her little shop. And I don't know, do you know who that bike rack belongs to or why it's back there?
Where is it now?
It's behind, at the very end of the historical village, between the tracks and the barn, there's a bike rack.
And it's
just lonely, sitting there with no bikes. It's in like, and the candy shop lady who rents the little white house, she would really love to have that in front of her building for kids that ride their bikes. So I don't know who's in charge of that bike rack.
I'll ask Andy.
All right.
Okay. Well, I appreciate everyone's discussion and thoughts, and comments about this discussion. Obviously, there's a lot of things to be considering right now. What I'm hearing at the moment is that we are not quite sure. There does seem to be a lot of demand for open space, but we're also not sure how long that's going to last or what that's going to look like into the future. The street closures have been popular, and perhaps looking at other temporary ways of being able to provide more space could be an option. Security is something that we'll have to be cautious about, because there is no dedicated options there. Then we have some questions on what we can close and what hours would be with that. It doesn't seem that there's any votes that we could, or decisions to make right now, but it does seem like this is a conversation we should maybe continue once we have more time to research and observe what goes on with our temporary Dora Street closure. So what would you guys think, to have another one of these committee meetings in, let's say, a few weeks or maybe a month, once there's a chance to see what direction things go?
Could we ask Bill and environmental design, could we ask environmental design what they think of putting a community public space behind the museum and in front of the carriage house and the mural, and explaining that it's in a complicated position by those apartment buildings, if they can look at that and recommend or not recommend?
We just approved that contract. When are we supposed to get what their proposal is going to be? Do you know when that is?
No, no more. There's a community meeting that will be scheduled. But again, a reminder, and I'll get this out, that she's going to be speaking via Zoom, which you can all be invited to on Wednesday at the CIC.
That's this Wednesday?
That's this Wednesday. I'll get that out today, just a reminder. But that's a good point. I mean, yeah, she'd be open to give us some input on this and the door and the impact on areas and all that.
Thank you, Bill. That would be really great input.
Should we schedule the next meeting for this now, or schedule it once we've had a chance to?
So the next meet, just so I get this, so the next meeting is so we have more time to observe how things are going and make a decision based on the necessity for more space. Is that what we're thinking?
That's what I was leaning towards, was to observe what the necessity is for adding more space, to get the information on what our limits are, and then also to receive feedback about what the downtown master plan suggestions are.
Should we make it like invite community members, so it's a bigger discussion, not just us, but that some of the Dora people? I'm just suggesting, I'm not saying we have to, I'm just saying we might get more, it might be a more balanced conversation if we have people on the street in the conversation.
I always think the more input from the local business owners and people in Dora, the better, I think. Yeah, makes a lot of sense to me.
I don't have an issue with having community input for much, any time, from anywhere.
Okay, so maybe the next meeting,
maybe just invite, put the email out to Ray too, since she's the executive director for the DSA, and she can put it out there, or I don't know, or is that too?
Well, Pennsylvania knows about the next meeting, so they'll be here to help answer some of the questions.
Cool.
Because that might have been our problem with the street closure.
Do we anticipate that we may or may not make a decision at that point on moving forward and calling for public hearings? Because it still requires public hearing, correct?
Right.
And a public hearing.
Okay. So I want to make sure that the residents who live,
they will all, if any adjacent property owners have proposed to expand the area, will get a notice, get a letter.
So do you think we should be more like know what we're doing before we ask people their opinion? We should have a plan.
I think to go and ask the Dora, the businesses that are in the Dora footprint, by and large, we're going to get. Yeah, we love to have the Dora expanded. We'd love to have more people downtown. That's, you know, that's like a Russian election.
Right.
The outcome's already predetermined. You know, I'm just concerned that if we're going to do this, that we're going to look at spaces that could start to impede or impinge upon residential homeowners and apartment Because the people who live in apartments above Fiddlesticks, they moved in, the door was by and large, has been there for a while. That's a different situation. Now we're starting about expanding, potentially impacting more people. If we're gonna do, invite public, I think we should invite the public, not just the people in the DSA in the door area. I think we should talk to the, like, maybe not a public hearing, but send a notice to the people on Woodruff or wherever that we're considering. I don't know that we have to worry about the hotel for the corner park or the Key Bank. I mean, those people are, you know, that's commercial business. Speedway is what it is. I'm not worried about that. But when we start talking about the residences, that's a different situation.
So perhaps for our next meeting, we're inviting not just the DSA and Heritage Savannah, but we're also giving sort of an invitation to the nearby residences so that they can have a more direct and stronger say. And this would be previous to having a public hearing if we were to move forward.
Or are you saying we need to have a, like, have already drawn the map before we invite people?
Well, my tendency is to have a plan.
Yeah,
that's good. Before we invite the public, because they don't have anything to really look at. So they get fearful, and then they react to what might be rather than what is going to be put in front of them. So my tendency is I would rather draw the lines.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it does seem like there's still a lot of options and a lot of sort of blurry lines at the moment. So perhaps the next meeting is us trying to define more of which spaces really seem to be the most likely and what would need to happen to add to it.
One thing that I would like to suggest that we all think about is a potential expansion of the Dora balanced against the street closure on Maplewood for the future. I'm not talking about the next 30 days. I'm talking about next summer kind of thing. If we've got the expansion, we've got more space available, people utilize it, is that still something that we might want to consider in the future? Because we do have some pushback. And recognizing this is a unique set of circumstances that we've all been faced with, is that something we would want to do in the future? Because that takes all sorts of downtown planning into account. We got Maplewood potentially under reconstruction in a couple of years. There's a lot of moving parts attached to that conversation that we could think through as part of that engineering study.
Okay.
They're
all really great points and things that we should be keeping in mind. I think that sort of emphasizes the fact that we don't want to rush this decision because there's a lot of things that are changing. So how about the next meeting, if we leave it to the committee and we try to figure out a little bit more of these, which places we want to define, and hopefully we'll have more information to then help shape those answers. And then following that is when we might have start bringing in more people, when we have maybe two or three options that we're mainly considering. Does that sound good to the committee?
Sure.
Okay. Should we schedule that next meeting now since we're all here?
Might as well.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it.
I was thinking maybe a month would be a good amount of time to start to see how the street continues to work and maybe get a little more information from environmental design.
That would be key. I feel like that's our, it would be really great to know what they think.
Probably after Wednesday, we'll find out more about that schedule for her to, I'll ask her about that.
Okay.
My suggestion would be the week of the 13th, because the week of the 6th, a lot of people are on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys have preferred days or times?
I would prefer not 9 a.m. I can do 7:30, I can do 8, I can do evenings, but my preference is not.
Okay. Why don't we do like an 8 in the morning?
Works.
What day are you thinking?
I can pretty much do any of those days.
The only one that I think is not great for me is Tuesdays. Got a day job meeting every Tuesday morning.
Why don't we do it on, the Wednesday is our new tax day. Why don't we do it on Thursday, the 16th at 8 a.m.?
Yeah.
We're going all the way out to July?
Yeah.
So that's, this isn't really happening this summer, then, is that what we're looking at?
Yeah, you're right. There's no huge rush, because I think it's going to be better if we actually plan it, and it's intentional and well-planned, instead of let's hurry and do this.
Because it seems like it would work against us if we were to add something in, and then in a couple of years, we realize we just need to take it out. I think that would probably add more confusion and bad relations with the community.
So 8 o'clock, Thursday, July 16th.
At 8 a.m. And plan it on here again?
Yes.
Okay.
Perfect.
Well, I thank you all for your thoughtful discussion and for bearing with me on my first committee meeting. And I look forward to it.
Yeah, much smoother than my first one.
Next one, and I will have a summary prepared that I'll share at our next council meeting.
Cool.
Thank you all. We are concluding at 9 or 10, 12.